Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Stacking the Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's shaking?
Not much, man. Just finished up Sweet 16.
We are here taping. This is Saturday around 1 o'clock West Coast time. We're doing an Emergency 8 Elite podcast. We want to recap all the Sweet 16 action and give you our Elite 8 picks. So, Ryan, let's get to it. Let's start recapping the Sweet 16 matchups.
Yeah, well, we both went 5-3, so.
We both went 5-3. I went 1-3 on Thursday and then rebounded hard on Friday with a 4-0 run.
Strong. Yeah, I think I went 3-2 and 2-2 with some ridiculous backdoors. I did like how backdoored was trending on Twitter yesterday after the Xavier Baylor game.
Yeah. Well, see, that just shows the power of gambling and the power of sports gambling in particular.
So, yeah, I guess Wisconsin-Syracuse was the first game.
Okay, Wisconsin-Syracuse. I had Syracuse, what was it, three and a half?
Yeah, it was, depending on when you bet it, anywhere from 3.5 all the way down to 2.5 in some places. But yeah, I don't know, it kind of played out like I thought it would. Wisconsin was able to shoot out of the zone and kept it close. And
yeah,
well, even had the lead for a little bit. It came down to the length of Syracuse.
Cuse had a nice run at the end of the first half that kind of gave him some separation. They were up by 6, and it was like, okay, maybe they're going to kind of take this thing over. But instead, Wisconsin just came back, was fighting the whole time.
Yeah, they're just a sound team every year. They do what they got to do. But, I don't know. I hate rooting for Wisconsin, but they don't make any mistakes ever, and they play good basketball.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're just, it's the Big Ten style. They're not super athletic, just play solid basketball, know what they're doing. And
they hit their threes.
Kept it close, but Cuse was just a little too much to handle. All right, what else do we got on Thursday?
So the next game that tipped was the Louisville-Michigan State. We both loved Michigan State. I had them to win it all in my bracket.
So did I. And if Michigan State would have won it all, I would have won the bracket. So I was kind of bummed about that. And in our sports gambling podcast bracket we did together, we had Michigan State. Yeah, here's my strategy for picking a winner. Now, in my mind, you got to kind of go a little unconventional, because you basically have to pick the winner of the tournament to win your bracket. Michigan State felt like a good play because it didn't seem like any other team was so dominant that it was going to be a clear favorite. Yet Michigan State didn't seem like a consensus pick, so I don't know. That was kind of my logic there. And Louisville's defense, man. Who was that guy? Dang or something?
Yeah.
He had how many blocks?
Yeah, he really came out and played. I didn't think they were going to be able to overwhelm Michigan State's front court, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, you want to blame Michigan State for not having good offense, and yeah, that was part of it. But really, Louisville just played amazing defense. And Rick Pitino, good coach. I don't even think Tom Izzo coached that bad. I mean, I think he could have drawn up some better plays to get better looks. But really, it was just about Louisville's defense just playing that hard.
Yeah, Tom Izzo rarely gets out-coached.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that was necessarily
out-coaching. Like Draymond Green said, players play.
Was that his quote in the...
I guess that's what Tom Izzo always says. At the end of the day, players play.
Man,
they didn't play.
That was a... who's Reggie Miller and who's the other guy calling it?
Is it Marv Albert?
Yeah, it was Marv Albert, and I'm pretty sure. And they were talking about, like, oh, and there's Draymond Green, and you just see this heavyset woman just bawling her eyes out. I mean, I was bummed too, but I just felt really bad. And then they were like, okay, and that's one angle of the tournament, but how about this Louisville team coming out of nowhere? And then, like, immediately decided to cut over. And for people who believe in karma, Rick Pitino getting to another Elite Eight just shows you that you can be an awful person and still be very, very successful.
Yeah.
All right. So that was two of the Thursday games.
The next up was Cincinnati-Ohio State. Ohio State did their best to keep Cincinnati in this game, but at the end of the day, they were too much.
The spread on this? Cincinnati was getting 7.5?
Between 7 and 8, depending on when you got it. And, yeah, at the end of the day, Ohio State dominated early. They let Cincinnati come back in the first half of the second half, and then they just took back over. And Aaron Kraft had, I think, 6 or 7 steals. Kind of wasn't scoring, took over the game defensively.
Yeah, admittedly, I've just been hating on this Ohio State team and thinking they're going to choke, but at some point they're playing for real. We'll see.
Well, they just play really good defense. It's hard to beat a team that plays sound defense every week.
Yeah. No, yeah, they're looking good, and Solinger's playing well, even though I've just been hating on them the entire time. So, all right, what was the final Thursday pick?
Then we had Florida-Marquette, and another one where Marquette kind of – Florida jumped out to a lead. Marquette kept it close, and then finally –
what was the spread on that one?
Florida was getting a point and a half? 1.5 or 2 points.
Yeah, that was the only pick I got right on Thursday.
And at the end of the day, Florida just – the 3-point shot was too much for Marquette. Crowder got into some foul trouble, which hurt Marquette. But, yeah, this Florida team's playing hot right now.
Yeah, it's tough to go against this Florida team. I really think it's tough. Although, they're going to be coming up against Louisville, who's also – I mean, that's the thing. When you get to the Elite Eight, everyone's playing pretty hot.
Yeah.
Except for Syracuse. I feel like they're not playing hot at all.
Keep squeaking by.
But I still kind of like them. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's take a look at the Friday rundown, Kramer.
All right, so started out, I think Xavier Baylor was the first tip. And,
yep.
Yeah,
now,
this is
Ryan, you like Baylor minus six.
I love Baylor minus six.
And no, I like Xavier plus
Baylor
six.
Baylor was dominant. Baylor started out the game. They were up 28-9, 28-8. I don't know. Just a classic college game. They let Xavier get back in the game. They spread it back out. They let him get back in the game. End of the game, they're up 8, I believe. They turn the ball over. Holloway hits a 3. Makes it a 5-point game. They go down, they hit their 2 free throws, it's back to, or no, maybe it's a 6-point game. They go, they make 1 free throw, miss the second, and then 2 Holloway hits, and there's like 15 seconds left, you're down 5 points. What the fuck are you hitting a layup for? Hits the layup.
Covering that spread, baby.
Makes it 3, they immediately inbound, foul, stretch it back out to 5. They run down, they shoot a 3, they miss it with like a second left, but they don't foul. I'm sitting there. I actually wasn't able to watch this game. I was watching on my phone. I saw that they missed the shot with a second left, and I was just screaming at my phone, foul.
Foul. So, foul, you idiot.
Yeah, so Xavier showed how you can cover a spread and not even attempt to win a game. So
that's when I knew it was going to be a good day Friday. When you get the early backdoor cover, you feel like you got some momentum, you're rolling into the rest of the weekend.
That's bullshit. So then we moved to Ohio, North Carolina, and it did not look good early. UNC, I think they came out like 20-6 or something like that.
Yeah, it seemed. I saw most of the first half, and I was like, oh my God.
Ohio couldn't hit a 3-point shot.
Ohio's going to get blown out. And they just looked, just the way UNC brought the ball down. It's like when you're playing pickup basketball and you realize early on, like, okay, I can't guard this guy. There seemed to be a lot of that going on in this UNC game, especially in the first half.
But then Ohio started hitting their threes in the second half. And
yeah, even before halftime, I think it was only like 6 points at halftime, something like that.
Seven. They brought it back.
Felt like it got close.
The big change was that they started hitting their threes in the second half. And as this game came down to the wire, it got to this weird point where they kept showing Clark Kellogg in the broadcast. So he was in the broadcast for the Xavier Baylor game and waiting for the Indiana-Kentucky game. And his son plays on Ohio. So they kept cutting over to these close-ups on his face of him watching the game, and it was just like, wow, we get it. He's watching his son like try to win again. I don't know. It's just one of those moments where you're just like, you don't need to do that. We get it.
Yeah, I mean, that poor guy. He's trying to do his job, getting ready for the other game or whatever.
He's stressing out because his
he's probably got a lot of money on Ohio plus 11. So Ohio covered easily.
All
they
right,
took
well,
it.
I mean, it went to overtime, and it actually got a little nerve-wracking there. Because
yeah, because, wait, what was it? What was the final? They lost
by
8?
They ended up losing by 8, so
yeah.
It actually got a little crazy. Ohio had a chance to win. I mean, the kid missed a free throw on
well,
the
and also, even on that, UNC basically had the – it was tied up, I think, 53 or 63, something like that. UNC had a chance to – basically had the chance for the final shot. They go down. They look at the final shot. They take a they, you know, dribble in, get into the paint, get, you know, a decent look, and it gets blocked. And then Ohio's on a fast break, gets the ball, and is able to chuck up a deep three, goes off the glass. It was a – I think people are underestimating how close that shot was to actually going in.
Yeah, I mean, the game played out like I thought it might.
And maybe
– they missed Kendall Marshall because
– yeah. And maybe that was just the optimist in me because I have Ohio in our we drafted eight guys, drafted eight teams, and Ohio is one of the two teams that I had left. So I was thinking this feels like a decent upset just because of Kendall Marshall being out and this Ohio team playing well. But didn't win that, but did hit the cover. All right, so what else we got on
next
Friday?
Up? Indiana, Kentucky, and this is a little bit of a weird game. Both Davis and Zeller got into foul trouble, and that was really once Zeller went out and had to sit with foul trouble, it kind of just, you see Kentucky, and they've grown men on that team.
Yeah, it's a grown man team.
Indiana without Zeller doesn't really have grown. Watford played a good game, but yeah, this was another one where a traditional Calipari team misses a couple free throws down the stretch. They didn't miss one free throw.
Well, yeah, usually these kind of one-and-done guys aren't real meticulous about getting their foul shots down.
They hit every free throw, and I think I forget what the spread was when I bet it. But
I think it was like 10.
10 or 10 and a half.
So, I never felt great about Kentucky minus 10, but it worked out.
Yeah, they covered.
What'd they win by, 12?
12, yeah. And again, just because they hit all their free throws.
Okay, now what is the... So we got seven there covered, right? Yeah. Now what's the... what was the final
game?
The last
one was NC State, Kansas, and... Man, this Kansas team has been the worst, like, top seed, I feel like. They keep coming out and just laying eggs early. NC State was up, I think, 17-11. They were kind of...
This NC State team seemed good, and that's why I had them plus 8.5. That felt pretty solid.
But then they let Kansas get too many fast break points and steals.
Kansas is kind of like Cuse so far in the tournament. They're two teams that...
Squeaking by
and just winning. Hanging on. Now, do you think that's going to be an advantage going into the Elite Eight that they...
Playing in tight games?
Playing in tight games? Or do you want to be, like, so hot and then, winning by a nice margin, but then, hey, that shooting kind of doesn't happen or something changes?
Well, I think the big difference... This is going to be the first team that Kansas matches up against that has similar athleticism, if not greater athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think overall, or just in general, I think playing tight games and especially for college because it's such a mental game at that level. I think definitely helps them. But that being said, I don't know if I'd like Kansas that much going forward. All right, Ryan, let's take a look at the Elite Eight, starting with today, Saturday.
All right. Florida and Louisville tip at 1:30 Pacific. It opened at a pick 'em. It's now Florida -1, -1.5, depending on where you bet it. The total's 131.5. I like this Florida team. They rely on the three-pointer a little too much. They have good guard play, but they hit their three-pointers, and...
Same way. I like Florida, but that Louisville team looks scary, man, against Michigan State.
I'm riding Florida here.
I'll take Florida -1.5 as well, but a little worried.
And I would even – I almost kind of like a slight lean on the over here. I think this number is low based on the defense that Louisville played against Michigan State, but I think 131.5 is a little low for a team that can – both teams can really pop the three, so – So the second game, Ohio State, Syracuse, the two seed here, Ohio State's favored by 3 points and the total is 135.5. That feels like a high number to me from the total perspective.
135?
Both teams play really good defense. Neither team shoots great from the 3-point line, which is kind of how you affect the other team. I mean, Wisconsin kept it close with the 3-point shot. I think Ohio State, not quite the 3-point shooting team, but has a dominant interior presence and some guys who were making plays last game. I'm going to, again, stick with Ohio State. I think they're a superior team here. I think Syracuse, like we talked about, has kind of gotten by on talent level, and they're going to be matched up against even talent this game.
I like Syracuse. I just think Boeheim's kind of got this team
around.
Boeheim. I prefer Boeheim.
I understand.
I think Boeheim's just got this team rallied around, Fab Melo being out, and they just...
Sticking with the Ewing theory?
I don't know, man. I can't... I've just been so anti-OSU the entire tournament and just been riding Syracuse. I'm not going to get off the bandwagon quite yet.
So as we're talking, and I declare that I feel like the Florida-Louisville game total is low.
Yep.
Moves a full point from 131.5 to 132.5.
Wow.
Yeah, they must be listening.
Dude, they're tapped. They've tapped our system. Yeah.
Big They've brother's got, listening.
They're on at Sports Gambling Podcast. They're following us, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's throw out the Sunday matchups.
All right, so Sunday early, we got at 11:20 Pacific, Baylor versus Kentucky. Kentucky's laying 8, over-under 147.5. Give me Kentucky. Baylor does not have the piece. Baylor is the same team as Kentucky with lesser talent. I think, unlike some other teams that have good guard play and can shoot the three, Baylor relies on the inside game, and Kentucky's just bigger and stronger.
You know, I was going to go with Baylor here plus 8, but I think what we talked about early, how they covered that Indiana spread, that was kind of big with their free throw shooting late. I think that's the tipping point for me, so give me Kentucky.
I mean, they're also they're clearly the best team I've seen in this tournament.
Yeah, I think athletically they're...
You watch them play, there's grown men on the team. They don't look... Like, when that point guard for Indiana, he's a white dude, looks like your average kid playing in like, a rec league.
Yeah.
He's going against, you know, Terrence Jones picked him up at one point, who's, like, a 6'8", like, massive, like, LeBron James-looking motherfucker.
All right. That anyway, feels good.
So, next, then we have Kansas, North Carolina. And Kansas getting 2.5 points. That's surprising to me. Total 143. Now, I got to say, that number feels really low. Both these teams enjoy running.
Yeah, I like the over here on that.
I think I'd roll with Carolina. Give me the points in Carolina and the over on that one.
UNC minus 2.5.
No, UNC's getting 2.5.
Oh wow, they're getting 2.5. Yeah, that's. Oh okay, then yeah, give me that.
Yeah,
all
there's
day.
There's a slight chance Marshall might play, but either way, I don't think you're gonna. The way Kansas plays, I'm not sure if they're gonna be able to exploit it. I think they run so much through Thomas Robinson, and Robinson's going to have to go against Henson and Zeller. That's a tough matchup for him.
Yeah, and I think that scare against Ohio, while playing OT on short rest, I mean, whatever, these kids are 18, 19. I don't think that's a huge deal. But I just like this UNC team that they had a little scare. I mean, Kansas did too, I guess, but I don't know. UNC, just better coached, I think.
I'm jumping off the... It's a popular opinion is that Bill Self is a good coach. I'm starting to think he deserves to be put in the John Calipari good recruiter but not great coach category because he's got two for sure first round draft picks in Tyshawn Taylor and Thomas Robinson, and they don't dominate games like they should. They don't even go to the star players enough. I'm not that impressed with Bill Self for a couple years in a row now. So. I'm gonna jump off of him being a good coach and stick with Roy Williams here.
Okay, so I got UNC plus 2.5, Kentucky minus 8, Syracuse plus 3, Florida minus 1.5. That feels good. Two dogs, two favorites, 1-1 on each day.
We only differ on the Ohio State game, is that?
Yeah, I think that's our only.
Okay. Okay, and I think I'm definitely gonna bet on the over in this Florida game.
So you like what's the number on Florida?
132.5.
Okay.
Depending on where you get it. And I think I'm going to take the over for the UNC-Kansas game also at 143.
Now, what are the totals on the OSU-Cuse and Baylor-Kentucky?
OSU-Cuse, 135.5. If I was making a recommendation there,
I'd take the under.
But I don't think I'm going to touch it. Maybe I'll just bet on everything. Let's just bet on everything. There's only 4 games left.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so we're going to go... I'm going to go Ohio State with the under.
Okay, you got me on that one, definitely.
Oh, my... Again, as we're saying it, line moves to 134.5.
Wow.
This is pretty remarkable. And it's really dialed in, Sean.
Dude, we're getting sharp. We're getting we're a sharp. We're a syndicate, Ryan. We're a sports gambling podcast syndicate.
This is unbelievable. I feel like we're in that movie with Ryan Felipe where they put the video cameras in the programmers' houses and steal their code and kill them.
All right, now, what do we like in this Baylor-Kentucky? What's the over-under?
So Baylor-Kentucky, 147.5. I don't feel strongly either way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go under on that. 147
I'm gonna
feels
I'm
going to
lay off that one officially.
I'll give it the... I mean, honestly, I like the picks more than the totals, but if I had to pick one here, and I do, so I'm going to go under 147.5.
I can agree with you there. I just think Baylor's going to have a hard time scoring. I think that's the big thing. I think Baylor, and I think Kentucky can easily get to 80-something. I'm not sure if Baylor can. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know. Just 147 and a half feels like a lot for an Elite Eight game.
And then Kansas UNC 143.
I like that over though. Yeah. I like that. That seems good to me. All right, Ryan. So let's see. We got next week back on a regular schedule. We got the Final Four coming up.
We should do a special Sunday night, Monday national championship games on Monday. So we should do a pre-national championship.
Oh, okay. So now wait.
Quickie.
When's
Final Four is on Saturday.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll get something up Thursday maybe.
Yeah, we'll have something we'll do a
25-minute update on Sunday.
Just do a bonus one, maybe even a Monday lunchtime we can knock it out, something like that. And then, yeah, man, so we got that. Then, of course, NBA.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're almost
we're making a stretch.
Here.
We got the NFL draft coming up. And, of course, baseball preview time just around the corner.
Yeah, I guess.
A lot of stuff, man.
What's the – next week we might have to do the season props for baseball.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Because they're doing this thing this year. First games are on the 28th and 29th in Japan. And then the rest of the season doesn't start till April 4th. And the teams that play in Japan for official, like, regular season games actually play preseason games after those games. It's really stupid.
March 28th and 29th, they're playing official opening day.
Yeah. Oakland and Seattle are going to Japan. It's, I don't know, don't get me started. It's retarded. Yeah, so there's going to be, they play two games, March 28th and March 29th, at 3:10 a.m. and 2:10 a.m. Who gives a shit?
Why do they gotta fuck with everything, Ryan? Why do they have to take great traditions that we have in sports and mess with them? And I'm talking about you, Thursday night football games that they're gonna play the entire season.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Okay. Maybe one or two. I like the Thursday night Thanksgiving game, but I don't like having an entire season of these Thursday night games. They're sloppy. They throw off all your betting schedules.
Yeah.
The teams, it affects the bye weeks. They're always bad games. It's a crappy product. It throws off my whole week. I don't like it.
And including there'll be a Wednesday night game next year to start the season.
Yeah, Eagles played on a Tuesday night. Now I think almost the NFL has played in the past 3 years, I feel like.
Every day.
Almost every day, except maybe like Friday.
So, I guess, make sure you get, if you want to bet, do some season props on Seattle and or Oakland, get them in before next. The game literally starts at 3 a.m. Wednesday, 3 a.m. Pacific Wednesday. So, luckily those two teams suck and we don't care about them, so.
But yeah.
Seattle's typically a team I bet the under because teams, they're always slightly hyped and they'll set the over-under at like 68 wins, and they'll end up winning like 45.
Well, Ryan, you know I'm going to do my annual max out my offshore account on Phillies over.
All in on the Phillies?
Well, we'll
have to get those together. We'll do that next Wednesday.
Tickle your feather with that one. And, of course, guys, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Click the Amazon link. We get a little cut of that. We throw back into the podcast and into our own bets there, so make sure you do that. You can bookmark it, guys. You don't have to go through every time. You just, once you got the link down, you bookmark it, you keep going through, you support the podcast, support our habits, you know, you give us a little juice. Amazon passes the juice along to us. You can follow us at Sports Gambling Podcast. Or no, sorry, at Gambling Podcast.
There you go.
It's that simple. At Gambling Podcast on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out picks, thoughts. Ryan was tweeting about Tu Holloway making that late cover. I tweeted out "fuck everything" when Michigan State blew my bracket up.
I like how someone responded to you saying they also wanted to fuck everything.
We got some fans on there. Shout out to Maddie Lib and Daniel Chan.
Oh, nice!
Big gambling podcast fans, very supportive of the program. We appreciate that, and of course, subscribe to the program on iTunes so you don't miss bonus episodes like this. Okay, for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Green, and he's
about to be rich.
Let it ride.